Welcome to episode 13 of the Sports Bible. I am your co-host, Michael.
I'm your other co-host, Jackson. Today's episode's a bit different. It's kind of a player spotlight. We have Kerry Hughes as our guest today. You could kind of think of her as those kind of like decorated athlete. Bradford's pretty much ever seen. She's numerous awards. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think a two-time MVP for soccer. She's captained the soccer team a couple times. Helped the girls reach gold last year, 2 years ago, 2018 for provincials. Helped them reach bronze that year at nationals. Helped them reach bronze this year for provincials as a team. And easily, in my opinion, a Hall of Famer at the end of the year, at the end of your career, OCAA. We're going to start off just, you know, asking some questions, get to know her a bit more. Michael, if you want to start it off.
Yeah, man. Kara, that's a big intro that Jackson just gave you. You got to introduce yourself.
I think I was just rookie of the year for soccer, not MVP.
I'm 100% swear you were 2 years ago MVP for Laurier.
I was not.
Okay, well, correct me.
I think I was once for cross country. But not soccer.
That's probably what I saw. I probably would have saw that cross country.
That was just in first year.
Okay. I should have fact checked. My apologies. I was just trying to give you a little extra more credentials.
Oh, yeah.
You
know? Thanks.
So, Kara, how's your journey been with sports at Laurier?
It's been pretty good. I guess most of my memories here have been from playing sports. But yeah, I think it's added a lot to, I guess, my university experience, and just I've met a lot of friends, and met you guys. Well, Jackson, I already knew you, but I think it helped me kind of meet a lot more people than I would have if I didn't play sports. Yeah.
So I know I've just said sports, and you've been throughout, you're going to your fourth year heading in. You just finished your last season as cross country. What's the one thing you can take from that, from your 4 years in running cross country?
I think probably the team. I got close with a lot of the runners, and I think it really helped push me a lot. I mean, running isn't my favorite thing. Definitely like soccer more. But I think doing cross country has really helped me. I think it helped me open up a lot, and it challenged me. And I got a lot of cool experiences out of that. And going to Alberta twice was pretty amazing. I guess it's something that I wouldn't have accomplished if I didn't do that. And I wouldn't have experienced those cool things.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And since you've been playing from first year, have there been any major differences from then till now?
Other than like new runners coming in and people graduating, I think the biggest difference would have been last year we didn't get to really do anything because of COVID. So that kind of took away a season. I guess that would be something that was pretty different. Everyone just kind of had to run on their own for that year. So that was a big change, I guess.
Pretty, good answer for there. I know that, as I said before, fourth year of cross country, but this is your last year for soccer. You played 4 years continuously indoor, and you kind of definitely one of the vets, and a lot of young people coming in first year, second years, kind of look up to the people who've been there the longest. I know I sure do when it comes to like Oka or Roberto or Visser. Definitely getting under someone's wing is definitely crucial. For anyone that's looking to come into soccer or it's a first year, what would be your message to them as getting used to indoor and, the new rules and the changes in the fast pace?
honestly, when I was in first year, I was scared to even try out. So I think the biggest thing would just go for it. Don't be scared. Everyone's really nice. I haven't had a bad experience with soccer. So, yeah, I think the biggest thing would just be to get involved and become a part of the group. Everyone's really welcoming. I think that's the great thing about being on a small campus, is that you kind of develop closer relationships, and it's, I guess it's easier to have, like, to form those team bonds because everyone's just, I guess, kind of more close knit. So yeah, I think the biggest thing is just to join the team. Don't be scared. Go to tryouts. And then just kind of talk to everyone because everyone's so nice here.
Yeah, I think, especially what you said last about everybody's pretty welcoming.
Yeah.
And some campuses don't kind of have that luxury just because there's so many people. So yeah, I'm glad you talked about that. I wanted to ask, what are the major differences between cross country and soccer? Obviously, one, you run without a ball, but is there any other, like, less obvious ones?
Cross country is definitely a longer run. I don't know. I think both are kind of small teams, so I really like that part about it. Cross country, it's like, I guess it's more of a condensed kind of thing, because you have nationals 2 months after you start school. So there's a lot more kind of off-season training, I guess, or running on your own before we actually get to school and get to run with the team, whereas soccer kind of starts a little later. And right away it's like team practices, so you're with the team right away. So I guess it's a little easier to stay motivated with soccer because you're doing things with other people the entire time. Whereas with cross country, you kind of are on your own for part of the season, just keeping fit. So I guess that'd be kind of the biggest difference between the two.
Yes, you know, cross country, definitely more individual sport than soccer, but there's also team sport. I know you've been doing cross country, I want to say 8 years, all throughout high school, all throughout university. Now, I know, you know, with cross country, it's rain or shine. You're out there running, cold or hot, doesn't matter. You know, if you looking back your 8 years, you know, what course or what was the hardest challenge you faced when running?
I'd say the hill at Seneca was pretty challenging. It's like straight up and you have to do it twice. So that was always a hard one. I don't know. I guess this year at Nationals, the course wasn't like crazy hard, but you're just running 2K loops and you had to do the exact same hills every time. And the ground was just, I guess, frozen. So that was a little challenging. And then 2 years ago in Alberta, there was snow on the ground and like it was freezing cold at that race. So I think those would be the top three challenging courses. Yeah, the one 2 years ago, we were just slipping. Like it was just frozen ground. So that was a good time.
I can't imagine running in Alberta, especially that you did it twice. Like that's
pretty wild. It was something.
I wanted to ask about how you kept up with everything. Like, cause you obviously had cross country, you had soccer, and then you had school. I know you had a job as well. How did you like time manage everything?
I guess that was probably the biggest thing coming into university that I had to work on. Like, I mean, I have always played soccer and had school and had a job like through high school. So I kind of had that time management down, but then I guess it was something that I had to adjust to still a little bit because cross country, we were doing that like 6 days a week. And then Like, I had school on top of that, and if I was working, so I guess I just had to, like, if I was doing schoolwork, I had to sit down and do schoolwork, or if it was time to go to practice, like, that's where I was, and it was just kind of managing my time so that I could get everything done that I needed to get done and do it the best that I could, because I didn't want anything, like, one area to kind of take away from the other areas. So I just had to find that balance that worked for myself so that I could do everything that I wanted to do.
Fair enough. You know, I don't think this was your first choice. You know, when, as you said, your first choice is soccer for cross country. But did you expect your career to take off or like this? I know, you know, high school, you don't really think about it. And, you know, being approached from Corey in grade 11 to come to Laurier, did you ever imagine coming here to run cross country or even attending the school?
I didn't think that it would happen how it did. Like, it's been pretty amazing. I guess in high school, I didn't really think of, like, what my future in running or soccer, I guess, would look like. So when Corey kind of got in touch with me, I was pretty excited. And I had already known that I wanted to do, like, criminology. So I knew Laurier Brantford was an option. And, yeah, that's kind of – I didn't really have to choose between this or that. I kind of was like, okay, I'm going to Laurier Brantford, and I'm doing cross country, and I know they have soccer there. So, yeah. And then when I got here, I guess things kind of just kept happening, and it was like, wow, this is pretty cool. Like, I never expected to go to Alberta or to meet the people that I did. So it's been pretty awesome for me, I think.
What is, I have to ask, about your opinion of Brantford as a whole.
I actually love Brantford, honestly. I know people might say, oh, it's not like the best place to go, or you could be at the Waterloo campus, but honestly, I wouldn't trade this. Like, I love having the small campus. I love being so close to, like, classes in downtown. So yeah, I honestly wouldn't trade it for anything. I have loved being here. I think the small campus just makes it so much easier to meet people and to get involved as well. Because honestly, if I was at a different campus, I probably would have been too scared to do anything. So yeah, I think being here has really helped me be the best that I could be. And it's given me a lot of experiences, and I've had a lot of fun here and met a lot of people. So yeah.
You know, as you say, you know, a lot of people wouldn't choose Brantford just because of, you know, it's small. It's it's an old city.
Yeah.
But you know, as you know, is ups and downs of Brantford. You know, comes with, you know, as you said, small campus, and you get to really, you're close to everyone. That's the good or bad part, if you know what I mean. You know, you see people you don't want to see, or you see people you want to see. You know, things happen. But kind of related to Brantford and going back on Michael's question, what has been one of your like favorite memories here at Laurier Brantford?
I don't know if I could think of just like one, but I guess kind of generally it'd be all the people that I've met and like the friends that I've made. And yeah, I don't know. I guess that would be the thing. And then everything through sports, obviously, going to Alberta, definitely cool memories that I never thought I would have been able to do. And then soccer. I've had so much fun with soccer. So I think those are all kind of things that I've loved doing and memories that I've made just as a collective, I guess. I don't think I could pick one favorite memory.
Yeah, I think that's good though. The fact that you've had so many moments that you can like enjoy. You're definitely lucky to have that. I wanted to ask, what are your goals for this season for soccer now that the season looks like it's back on?
Yeah. Damn, Michael, you took my question, man.
Oh. Well, first of all, I just want to play because
Yeah.
it's my last year and I want us to be able to play. Yeah, I guess I just want to have a competitive season. Because we've been competitive in the past, and I just want to keep that going and see what we can do this year. I think that we have a pretty good team, and I think we're all pretty close as well. So yeah, I just want to get back to practices, and hopefully we can play some games soon and just see what we can get out of it.
Okay, well, I'm about to go on the fly question here. When all of us, any athlete or any new recruit that comes into Laurier and you walk into that YMCA, one thing that stands out for me is there's one banner on that wall. I know we are small, we're small, but the one banner means so much to everyone. Unfortunately, I wish I could be a part of it, of that team, but when you look at the wall, and it's a provincials title, and you were one of the key factors to contribute to that banner on that wall. How much does it mean to you that you're part of that team who has that banner hanging on the wall in the gym?
I think it's a pretty cool feeling. It's cool to look up and be like, I was a part of that. Yeah, and then when other people see it and they kind of ask questions about it, it's like, oh, that was from we won provincials for cross country. So it's kind of a cool feeling to see that up there, and it's kind of a way to see the things that we've accomplished here. So yeah, it's a pretty cool feeling.
Okay. Jackson, how many more questions do you have?
I can keep going here. Are you done with yours?
I have another one.
Okay, okay.
I wanted to ask your plans after graduating.
Oh.
Both with sports and life in general.
Yeah. Kind of say that I've retired from running, but we'll see. I might get the urge to start running again. I'd love to continue with soccer. I played with a team over the summer last year and I had a lot of fun. I've always played soccer like my whole life, so I'd love to keep doing that for sure. And then I'll probably get some runs in to help with fitness, and maybe I'll do some fun races or something. We'll see. With kind of life, I'm hoping to get into something with social work. Definitely taking a year off from school because I've been in school my whole life. So I'm gonna see what jobs I can get, and make a little money, get some work experience, and then maybe go back and do a master's in social work. Not really sure yet. I'll figure that out when it comes to it. But yeah, that's kind of what I'm planning.
You know, when
Oh,
someone says, we'll see,
yeah.
they ain't gonna do
No,
it.
I
They ain't
actually might though. We'll
gonna do it.
see. I
With
actually
racing
might.
with Martin?
Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to do a half marathon. I don't know if I can run that
I mean, you technically biked a marathon, so
I
you
think I got off a couple times and walked. I'm not good at biking either.
last year, as you said, and as we continue to say, for soccer, Michael kind of touched on this a bit with your goals, but I want to know your predictions at the end of the season. You guys are a young team still, and you have a couple of vets on the team, you, Brooke, Kayla. I think that's Caitlin. You know, you got a couple of vets in that team that who've been there before. Maya, obviously. What do you got this season for the girls team? What's your predictions here?
Well, depending on what the season looks like, hopefully, I think they're still planning regionals and provincials. So, I just want to do well at regionals and see what we can do. I mean, we've done decently well in the past, so I just want to do well at regionals and then hopefully move on to provincials. I think that would be the best. That would be pretty cool just to end it off with that and then see what happens at provincials. So hopefully we can do that. First of all, hopefully we get to play in those tournaments. And then, yeah, hopefully we get those results. But honestly, I'll be happy just to get to play.
Exactly. You know, bring home that second banner, put up on the wall. That's the goal at the end of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. Just what you talked about with school and social work, how has school been for you? Because I know, obviously, with Zoom University is a popular term we like to use.
Yeah.
And we've had, just because we're a little older than Jackson, we've obviously had in person for 2 years and then kind of dealt with Zoom.
Yeah.
How's that whole thing been for you?
I think the transition was pretty seamless, I guess. I think everyone did a really great job, like, when we first had to move to online. I don't think I've really had too many struggles other than trying to get onto Zoom at times. But yeah, I think we had a good base coming in the first 2 years, having it in person and being able to get that experience in person, I think was really good for us. We were lucky to get that. Whereas like Jackson came in and it was just online. So you don't really get, I guess, those experiences and see what the classes are like and that kind of thing. So yeah, I think school for me has been, I think it's gone as well as it can go for me, honestly. And yeah, I haven't really been upset doing it online. I mean, it'd be great to do it in person just to be able to use those resources and be in class, but I don't mind being online either. I think since we got those first 2 years in person, that's why I don't really mind being online because I got those experiences. But for someone who's just coming in, it might be a bigger deal. Hopefully they get to go in person.
What should someone like, you know, as myself, I've never experienced in person before, you know, but some viewers who might be watching this or listening to this, could also be in the same boat as I've been. What should we expect going back in person? Is there a major difference between online and in person? Obviously, the components, obviously online and in person is a difference. But what should us, you know, freshmen or juniors expect this next couple of weeks?
Well, probably you're going to be like, I don't want to go to class, but just go to class. I don't know. I know that professors will usually like post their slideshows online, but sometimes in class they'll kind of add on to those things. So I guess that's important to go so that you can get those extra pieces, or I guess that's kind of the motivation. Or sometimes they'll give you some little pointers that they're not gonna put online for everyone, so that's kind of a reward to the people who go to class, so you can use that as the motivation. I don't know, I don't think there's huge differences other than it's kind of being like you're in person and hearing things from someone standing right in front of you. But yeah, I don't know if there's like huge differences, but go to class.
I think one is like the attention span.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Obviously on Zoom, it's much easier to be distracted because
yes, it is.
It's just a screen. But yeah, in person, like you kind of have to stay engaged the whole time, or else like you might miss something. And then depending on when your classes are as well, that's kind of
important. Oh yes, that's a key thing. I've kind of tried to avoid those 8:30 classes, but definitely. You gotta do it. You gotta do it.
You're gonna have a few like 8:30s, and they do suck.
Yeah.
But if you can do your schedule. Oh, Friday. Oh, brother.
Listen, I was expecting us to be online this semester. Okay.
Yeah. It's your fault. But I mean, school is kind of what you're here for. So.
Yeah,
sports.
You can do it.
The one thing though about like 8:30 on a Friday is like it builds that discipline. You know?
Yeah,
it does. Because like, you know you have to wake up, and then after that you can do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. So
and it kind of helps you set a routine as well, because online, I mean, most of my classes right now I just kind of do them whenever because I don't actually have Zoom lectures, so I don't really have a good routine. Which I think is a bonus of having in person is it kind of gets you out of the house and you know you have to go to class and you kind of know what you're doing during the day. So I think that really helps you get your work done because you have that schedule.
Mike, I don't know. My questions have pretty much been asked and answered. I don't know about yours.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. We still have 30 minutes left. We're probably just going to continue on with the show here. We're going to thank Kara for coming on tonight. Not tonight, sorry, today. Or whenever you listen to this, it could be tonight or today. It doesn't matter. But definitely, we appreciate your giving your time for us today. And we wish you the best for soccer and your life after school and your career. And we'll see you in the Hall of Fame in a couple of years.
Oh my God. Oh yeah, really.
Thank you.
So much.
Take care.
Bye.
Okay. That went, you know, pretty good. Kara has, you know, you could definitely see how humble she is as an athlete. Definitely doesn't like, you know, people give her the credits where she deserves. But definitely very humble athlete, for sure, Hall of Famer, 100%. There's no way around it. But, you know, we're going to continue with the episode here. 30 minutes left. You know, we talked about soccer a lot. We can continue to talk about soccer. Big news happened today, this morning. Mbappe is moving to Madrid in the summer on a free agent. Now that's a big three. What do you think? Does this end the career for Benzema in Madrid, or does Ancelotti? No,
I think it's perfect for Benzema because he can. Obviously, him and Mbappe have that connection in France.
Yep.
I know they played the last year together. So I know they already have that brotherhood. And this is the perfect transition to the younger generation. And as we know, like everyone in France respects Benzema. What he's done for one Real Madrid, how he's been so consistent. He's never really fallen off. And he's kind of getting more recognition that he deserves now that he should have been getting from before. So I think bringing like kind of like a little brother to him in Mbappe is ideal because, you know, even though Mbappe is so good, he still has so much to learn because he's so young. And the experience that Benzema has, especially playing in Real Madrid for so long, it's perfect for him. So even though I think, yes, you're correct, it's kind of like an end of an era thing, they have the ideal replacement. So I think it works out well. How about you?
You know, that was tough, you know, because I know they both play the same positions, but I feel like Mbappe can switch easily to a winger. And, you know, if you're bringing in Mbappe and you're bringing him for a reason, you're bringing him to win. And I think they brought him in to kind of link with Benzema. At first, I was like, I don't know if they bring him in. They both play the same position. You know, obviously, a lot of clubs like their younger generation, younger talent. And that's how pretty much sports work. You know, you get a guy, a younger guy comes in to push the old people out. And it's a continuous cycle. But I feel like, I don't know, Ancelotti might, you know, somehow work with the magic with Vinny up front with Mbappe and Benzema. But that means that Haaland won't be going to Madrid. That means he's going somewhere else. Yep. You know, I've been clowning you for saying Arsenal, but it could be an option. Hopefully, because I know, we know Aubameyang's moving out soon. Reports him going to Barcelona. That will not happen. He will not go to Barcelona alone.
No.
But, you know, I don't want to loan him out. I want to just sell him, get the money, fix that striker position. Obviously, you missed out on Vlasovic or Vlahovic. Chose Juventus. What can you do? I don't know. You think he was overpaid? What was it, 70 or 80 million for him?
I think it was 70 mil. I think it's just the nature of the transfer market now. Everyone's a little overpaid. So we just kind of, especially if you're a hot name, they have to slap a little 10 million on that to make it. In terms of Aubameyang, I was seeing reports this morning about how he was in Barcelona, but the deal fell through. There was some problems with the contract negotiations. We do need to make a move. I'm surprised we haven't signed anyone. We've sold and loaned out a few players, like Kolasinac is gone, Chambers is gone, Mari is gone, which is fine because they were kind of dead weight and they weren't going to play. But our squad is already small. So if we're not bringing any reinforcements and we're not filling the positions we need, we're one injury away from being finished. We're not going to do anything. And especially with our striker issue, it may not even be best to sell Uba this year because we can still sell him next year. You know what I mean? Lacazette would be the ideal solution to sell because his contract's up at the end of the year. So if we let him walk away for free, that's poor business on our end.
Yeah, I'm surprised we made no moves in January. With the form we're playing now, late January is horrible. You know, you'd expect us to do something to fix his team by bringing in players. We definitely sold the wrong players. Yeah, we sold dead weight, but we should have sold players that needed to be out. As you said and discussed last episode, Xhaka needs to go quick. Even selling someone like Leno. Leno's not going to get much playing time anymore. You know, Ramsdale is our Premier League starter. Leno only plays against championship teams, FA Cup games, you know, just games that we should win, where the subs and reserves come out. Definitely disappointing summer, not summer, definitely disappointing month of January for Arsenal as in the Arsenal fan base. Didn't win any games, didn't really do anything to improve the team. We just sold where we should be buying. Definitely missed on players who we could have grabbed. I know we were linked with a lot of players. I don't know. This team, hopefully in the summer, we figure something out. We bring in players. We sell players we need to sell. Aubameyang, Lacazette, Xhaka, maybe Mohamed Elneny, finally get him out of the club. Just fix this team up. But the team that was really active this month was Newcastle, bringing in players like Trippier. I forget, they just brought someone on yesterday. I forget his name.
Bruno,
Bruno Gutierrez. I think they have. I think they brought in one more. Not
Chris
sure.
Wood.
Yeah, Chris Wood. Yep.
And they just bought someone like an hour ago. The guy from, I think, Brighton, Dan Byrne.
Okay. Yeah. And then they approved. I don't know if they brought in a new manager. I don't think she did, no.
No, I think it's just Eddie Howe.
Yeah. But, you know, like, this is a team that's in, you know, bottom of the table, relegation zone. But they're buying players who would definitely improve their team. And they have a new goal in mind, which is, okay, let's just fight for Premier League next year and then figure out what to do in the summer. You know, a team like that buying players like with calibers, you know, Trippier is a decently good right back for him. Chris Wood is a solid player. So is Bruno. You know, and they still have St. Maximin. They still have Joel Willock, young players up front. And they have vets to teach them. Obviously, Jonjo Shelvey's still there. No, Fabianski's not there, no. You know, a team like that going being that active at the bottom of the table, and a team like Arsenal is not, shows how those two teams, you know, act in the Premier League. Which I don't even know what to say anymore about Arsenal. It's just, we need to start acting like we care more and actually fighting for a top four finish instead of just giving up or just being happy with where we are, which right now we're six, I think. We're, I think, behind Tottenham and Man United. But I don't know. You know, hopefully in the summer we search it up, we sell the players, we get the players we want. Hopefully Haaland comes. Haaland will come. I don't know. I don't think he wants to come to a club like this. Definitely wants to go to a club that's bigger. You know, I had Madrid as the number one option for him. Now I'm going to have to switch it up. Maybe he goes to City. Maybe Haaland fills in a Aguero position. If he goes to City, it's game over.
Yeah.
You'll see City winning the league for the next 3 years. and they have a great manager with Pep. So, I don't know. It's...
The Haaland signing will be the most influential, I think, because it'll dictate a lot of things. Because if he goes to Spain, let's say, I don't think he'll go to Barca, but hypothetically, he goes to Barca, you know, El Clasico's, you know, the rivalry is back, right?
Yeah, exactly.
If he goes to which I don't think will happen either. If he goes to a Bayern Munich, then, you know, they're favorites for Europe. You know, they're favorites for Champions League. If he goes to the Premier League and he goes to a, you know, a City, then it's a wrap for the Premier League because, you know, even if he goes to like a Liverpool, right? I think it's a wrap. Then his decision on where he goes will dictate how that league is going to operate. And it's kind of crazy to say because he's only like 21 years old.
Yeah.
So it's pretty interesting. It'll be very interesting to follow where he goes.
What if he goes to PSG? What if he switches and you feel in that spot for Mbappe?
I don't see it. That would be interesting. I feel like it'd be a step down if he went.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's no competition in the league. It's the Farmers League, as everyone says.
Yeah.
The only real competitions like Lille or like Rennes. That's it.
Yeah.
Really it. He could go to PSG. I don't see it happening. But now, you know, with him leaving, now we get to see the old Barcelona with, you know, just Messi, Neymar. That's the team. Obviously have Ramos, but we get to see the connection again with actually Messi, Neymar by himself, just like the good old Barcelona days. But
I don't know if you saw the report about Dembele going to PSG.
No, I did not see the report.
Yeah, Ousmane Dembele. I saw it yesterday. Apparently, they've agreed terms. It's pretty close to being official. So, just because Dembele and Barcelona are having some dispute issues with the contract.
Yeah, I saw that with him and Xavi, but I didn't think he'd be here.
Oh, because obviously Dembele wants to be paid a certain amount, but he's always injured. So
yeah, exactly.
They're not willing to pay him. Pay him all that money. So I think he just wants to move on from Barcelona. It's a shame because I've rarely seen him play for Barcelona. The injuries have really hobbled his career, but when he does play, he's such a joy to watch. So I hope if he does go to PSG, which I don't really like, I don't like the fit. But if he does, I do hope he plays a lot of games because we need to see him play a lot more.
Yeah, I'm hoping this kind of regenerates his career. He's still young. Mm-hmm. He's still in his mid-20s. It's just a shame, though. He had so much promise and potential coming out of Dortmund. He was the next star. And that's the biggest thing about being an athlete. To be great, you gotta put stats. You gotta have good stats. You gotta have historical stats. You gotta have accolades, credentials. But to be great, you also gotta be healthy. You gotta be consistent. And we've seen a lot of athletes who had so much promise and potential go down with injury, just be injury prone. Like Lamar Odom was a big one in Portland. Brandon Roy was another one in Portland. Dwight kind of just fell off now with injuries. Derrick Rose is a big one with injury. It's you see so much promise and so much future in these young stars, and then they get injured. One injury can define a career, as you saw with Derrick Rose. One ACL tear, and never been the same. Or consistent injuries like Odom and Roy just kept them out of the game, and then eventually they just got tired of it and they had to retire. So hopefully this regenerates his career in PSG. Hopefully.
Yeah. I know injuries are such an unfortunate part of the game, and especially when you have injuries when you're young, it could kind of ruin your career because you never truly heal. Arsenal have had that, many players who've dealt with that, unfortunately. So we know firsthand how that goes. But I hope that doesn't happen with Dembele. Just to look ahead at, or look back, sorry, yesterday with Canada and the US. I'm sure you saw
big,
the highlights.
Big dub, big.
Big dub for Canada, winning 2-0 against USA. Without Alphonso Davies, you could see the unity from the team. It's really standing out, and it shows that Canada mean business. They're serious. They are serious. What did you think?
I didn't watch the highlights. I kept up with the updates. Okay. But you could I've seen I was going through Instagram, and you can see the passion Davies has with Canada at home watching the game. To beat a team like USA without one of our best players, definitely shows what Canada's all about. Once you make the World Cup, we're going to be underdogs. We've been underdogs throughout this whole qualifying process. Now look at us, we're 6-0. We're 4 points clear of the States in Mexico. When players need to step up, they stepped up. Kyle Larin is now the all-time leader goal scorer, 23 for Canada. Buchanan steps up. Jonathan David steps up. Osorio in the midfield. Hutchinson, just you can see that when one of our best players go down, the whole team rallies behind that and they step up. And I'm glad to be a Canadian, and I'm glad that they're representing our country.
Yeah, man, for sure. It's so nice to see, like, in, especially in our era or in our age, Canada actually be good at soccer.
Yeah, who would have thought? Who would have thought, you know, we'll go to World Cup soon?
Not that, you know, obviously it was heading in the right direction. The academy system, you know, it's growing every year. We're getting, you know, players like Jonathan David, Alfonso Davies, you know, the superstars, kind of growing into their own. So it was bound to happen sooner rather than later. But I'm just glad we're actually able to watch it for ourselves. It's the same thing with basketball. And the stars, you see Andrew Wiggins being picked.
Yep.
The all-star starters.
I don't agree with it, but sure.
I don't think he should be a starter. No.
No, the Warriors fan base is, it's the Warriors
bias. It is. Yes. It really is. A starter, that's a bit of a stretch.
But, yeah.
I mean, credit to him. Hopefully, it helps. You know, it shows him how serious he can be to helping the Warriors win a championship. Because I'm looking at the team, and they have so much depth in their team. Like, they're actually one of the only teams that can probably go like 12 man's deep in the playoffs if they really wanted to. If they really wanted to. And a lot of teams, they can maybe go 10, but the Warriors can plug in and plug out players that fits a lot of situations for them, that favor them. And Wiggins he's going to be vital to them winning that championship. I know people are saying Steph, Clay, Draymond, obviously we know what they're going to do, but I think Wiggins is the guy after that. If he plays his role to the ability he can play it, I think that championship is locked in for sure.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, they have so much depth and you still have players injured. Like, Draymond, Salo, and they don't have Wiseman.
Yeah.
You know, when they're at full strength, when they eventually get full strength, when all their players are healthy, there's no doubt in my mind that they're not walking away with the championship at the end of the season. You know, I think this is a really important step in Wiggins' career, being selected as a starter in his first all-star selection. You know, when you expect the number one pick, you expect them to be stars in the league eventually. Some players go through, you know, some players shine right away. Some players don't. Some players take a while. And that was Wiggins. Wiggins took a while to really get comfortable with the NBA and find his groove. You know, because a lot of players, including myself, you know, he didn't really live up to the number one pick for a couple of years in Cleveland and Minnesota. But now that he's with Golden State, I think he's finally found his team, his role, his groove. And he's proven this year, being selected, obviously. Starter, not in my eyes, but should have been Booker. But
yeah, or Doncic.
Definitely, yeah, yeah. definitely a all-star for sure this year. But you know, good for him. Congrats to Wiggins. And I think since KD's out and he's captain, I don't know who else. I don't know who's going to be taking that captain position to pick, unless KD's picking.
I think he'll pick. But someone will replace him when starting.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe Zach LaVine? I don't know.
Yeah, it could be LaVine. Maybe they – because right now it's Trey, DeRozan, KD, Giannis, Embiid.
Yeah.
Now, potentially they could move Trey shooting guard or bring in Van Vliet. Put Van Vliet shooting guard and move DeRozan small forward. they will definitely will bring another power forward center. It's definitely going to be a guard or a small forward filling in that position. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know who's going to take KD's position. You know, Levine, as you said, could be one. Van Vliet could be one. I really don't think, you know, anyone else really shine this year to besides those two that I can really think of.
Do you think Pascal Siakam will be picked as a reserve?
No. I don't think so. I think he's had, you know, a fairly good games, a decent amount of games this year. But I think Van Vliet is the guy behind the wins, behind the streaks. And the spotlights are either on Van Vliet or they're on Barnes. You don't really see Siakam much in the news or, you know, on the stat sheet. He's a great power forward, but I think this year Van Vliet really stepped up and took that star position in Toronto. But if he gets selected, I'm not going to, you know, be upset. I'm not going to disagree with it. But I just personally think if one person is coming out of Toronto, it's going to be Van Vliet. I just don't think Siakam's proven enough this season that he's an all-star. Because as I said, I think Van Vliet's guy behind the wins.
Because I know Pascal was a little, I think he missed a few games in the beginning of the season just because of that injury.
Yeah.
But I think since he's come back, he's settled in pretty well. I do agree that Van Vliet's the majority of the wins we have, he has carried us through. But I think Pascal's performances, especially through the last month and a half, he's been vital to the way we're winning. Now, because he did come back a little later, I don't know if we'll get the recognition that he deserves. But I think maybe on the next episode we can discuss the reserves that we feel should be picked for both conferences and go from there.
Yeah, it's fine with me. And then that gives us, I think, the reserves should be coming out this week. Pretty sure. But they got it because the All-Star Weekend's coming up soon. But when the reserves comes out, we'll definitely discuss them. We can even do our own little All-Star draft. You could be KD. I'll give you KD since you're a KD guy. I'll just picture myself, you know, I'm going to be picking LeBron, but I'll picture myself as Lonzo, but...
Yeah, the reserves will be announced on February 3rd. So
perfect. Okay.
That is Thursday. This Thursday.
Yep. So there you go. Now the audience has a little sneak peek of what to expect next Tuesday with the Sports Bible. You know, I think that majority of the episode was pretty much with Kara. That pretty much rallies the rest of it. You know, it's a couple of soccer news, I know, with Greenwood, with the assault and the rape allegations. He just wasted his career.
Yeah, he's in a tough spot.
Yeah, and it sucks for United fans. He was definitely one of your future strikers. But you know, that's what money does you when you're young. You know, you think you have so much, you know, once you get the money, you can do it, whatever you want, you know, and then envy takes over. It's a shame, that he wasted his career is wasted. I don't think he's going to get back from this. But yeah, soccer news is, but basically, soccer news is transfer windows The biggest one is Mbappe leaving to Madrid. It's unofficial yet, but once he signs that paper and he starts playing in the Bernabeu, then it's official. Basketball news, not too much. You know, MVP race is still tight with Embiid, Jokic, Giannis, LeBron, Curry. Yeah, I don't think, I don't know. I can't personally think of anything that's been happening in the past week of basketball. I don't know about you.
No, I think nothing too major. I see the Atlanta Hawks on a 7-game win streak. It was about time for them to start turning up. So we should see more news from them. The Lakers are still, you know, a mess.
Yes, I know. I know.
That won't change. So.
Oh, so we'll see, you know. It's gonna change. It's gonna change. It's gonna change. It's gonna change. Let. If Westbrook can just not shoot, and,
he's playing drive. Better. Westbrook's playing a lot better.
Yeah, because he's driving to the basket. He ain't shooting.
Yeah.
Is, you know, when OKC, he was a slasher. That was his.
That was his prime.
His prototype. Now he's trying to be a shooter. And how do you shoot so bad you hit the top of the backboard? I don't get it. Like, how much force are you putting in behind that ball?
And we'll find out on the next episode.
Yeah. And no, it's every time I watch him play, he gets in the spot, kind of near the corner of the key, and he tries to bank it in every time. He always tries to aim for the backboard, and it's either he hits the top of the backboard, he hits nothing, the bank is too hard, and it doesn't even touch the rim after it touches the backboard. He's got to adapt to becoming OKC Westbrook / drive past people, get the foul, get the layup, do whatever you want. Shooting ain't for him. He's got to realize that. If as long as he slashes and he gets in the paint, we'll be fine. But right now, we're three games below 500. LeBron's out. AD needs to be traded. He's the guy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he pisses me off with his injuries. He literally protected himself landing, and he hurt his wrist somehow. I don't know. This guy, you know, next week we'll discuss with the Lakers, because I can go on and on about Lakers and trading Anthony Davis, but that will pretty much conclude this week's episode of the Sports Bible. I've been your one co-host, Jackson.
I've been Michael. Thank you for tuning on to this episode, and we will see you next week.
Take care.